Welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Miner. This weekly no-fluff mindset show arms you with the practical tools you need to get unstuck so you can get exactly what you want out of life. Remember, when you change your mind, your life will follow. Let's get into today's episode. There, friends. Welcome back to the Unstuck Podcast. Thank you all so much for being here today, tuning in to the show. We have a really good one for you today. My interview with Victoria, who is a human design reader. She read my human design chart. I did a one-on-one session with her. She actually also just kind of almost randomly came into my world and, you know, talking about how the universe communicates with us. I believe that Victoria was sent to me through the universe because I needed this information. I needed to know my human design right at this moment. And now I can see very clearly why I needed this info in my life, because it has given me a lot of permission to be who I am. It's given me a lot of comfort and confidence in who I am, where I was starting to feel almost a little crazy with how often I get these new ideas, I get these new things I want to start brainstorming on and start contributing and start putting out there. And it's like, I can't ever just sit and be. And, you know, that was my word for 2020 was be. And I'm having a hard time with it. And honestly, now that I know a little bit more about my human design, I feel more comfortable and confident with why I do what I do, who I am, where I'm going, what my purpose is. And so I really believe that Victoria came to me to offer me a reading so that I could get to know myself better right here in this moment. And so after we did our one-on-one session, I was immediately like, okay, my listeners need to know more about human design. It is, yes, very popular right now. You may already have seen your chart, had your chart read, maybe gotten a little bit of information through some blog posts or some Instagram people. So you may already have a little bit of knowledge about human design. Some of you may not even know remotely what I'm talking about. And that is cool too. That's why we're doing this. Regardless, you are going to learn so much in the next hour about yourself, about your friends, your family, your partners. It's all very cool, and I'm so excited to share it. Before we chat with Victoria, let me give you a little bit of background on who she is. Victoria is a human design reader and coach based in California. Her mission is to guide growth-oriented women to use human design to live vibrantly, with less hustle and more flow. After a decade in Silicon Valley, achieving everything she thought she was supposed to, a coveted career, great salary, and all the free snacks, she was earthquaked into the harsh reality. She was exhausted, burnt out, and in danger of doing irreparable damage to her health. As she searched for how to heal not just her body, but her spirit, she discovered human design. Learning her unique design changed her life, and now she shares human design with others so they can boldly live their truth. All right, without further ado, let's hear from Victoria all about human design. Victoria, thank you so much for joining me on Unstuck.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
This is very exciting, as you know, for me as well, because I'm just now dipping my toe into the human design world, and I really do find it fascinating. We'll talk more about, you know, my specific chart probably in this episode, but just I think there's just so much information in general for people to understand about themselves, even if they can't fully dissect their entire chart. Just even getting little bits and pieces makes such a big difference, I think, in a lot of people's lives. So I'm very excited to have you here to kind of talk about some of these things that you can learn about yourself simply by looking at this, what appears to be a very confusing chart, but it actually isn't once you have totally. Someone like you to break it down for everyone. So super excited. Can't wait to talk about this with you. Of course, I'd love to give you a chance to introduce yourself to the audience here. Tell us a little bit about who you are and how you got started on this journey.
Yeah, so I am a human design reader and coach, and I came to human design about 3 years ago when I was living super out of alignment, essentially every aspect of my life. And for those of you that are hearing about human design for the first time, I like to describe it as a system to help us guide us back into living more in flow, in alignment with our unique energy. And, you know, on the surface, it sounds really simple, but the truth is we all have different ways that we best share our gifts with the world. If you've ever like done a project and you've really pushed and it kind of like, it fell flat or it was just such a struggle, even though technically it was successful, that's kind of like an example of where you might be living out of alignment with your energy. And so for me, I was super burnt out. I had a bunch of health issues. And I had always believed that I needed to push and things always were just kind of going to be a struggle. And when I learned about my own human design, it was like, truly, I feel like there was a before knowing about human design world for me and then an after knowing about human design. Yep. And I had this, it painted a vision of what a life of ease could feel like that I had truly never imagined was possible for myself. And so because it was so life-changing, it was an entry point. The chart is an entry point to see, okay, where am I authentic or not? But then there's also the work of integrating that and changing, as you know, Sean, your mindset, getting unstuck in your beliefs, letting old identities go before that actually kind of materializes. So that was a whole journey for me. And now I share human design with people because I'm just so passionate about helping people see themselves and connect with themselves in this way.
Oh, it's so fascinating. And just so many things you said just in that, like these words that we use, being out of alignment, getting into alignment, and getting past your beliefs and your stories and really trying to figure out more about yourself. We do that so much here on the Unstuck podcast, but it's like you only know so much because you're kind of trying to dive in on your own and do it all yourself and really trying to uncover all of this stuff. And when you have these other tools to help guide you and to help make sense of everything, it really opens up a whole new set of doors, you know, more than what you can just do or are trying to figure out for yourself, especially when you do have so many of these stories and beliefs that are just stuck there. Like they're just in there and they're deep and it's really hard to uncover those yourself. So that's why I think this is really important work to getting unstuck and to truly living the life of flow, which is what you said was something you really wanted out of your journey. So I think that's amazing. Now, I think a lot of people already have some idea of human design. That's kind of where I was. Gosh, when did we talk? A couple weeks ago. So before we talked and I was able to see my chart and have it kind of dissected by you, I knew what human design was. I know it's very popular right now. It's kind of having a really nice moment and hopefully that continues. So I knew it was out there. I had actually put in my own information to get my chart and then I saw it and I was like, oh my God, I don't even know. This is like completely foreign in a different language to me. So I'm just going to close this and I'm not going to do that. Like this is just going to take too much. So that's where I was before. So I'd like to get a little bit of a history on this from you. Like, where does this even come from? What does it even mean? How is it that putting in your birthday can give you this information that is honestly so incredibly accurate?
Totally. And I know so many in my personal life, I come from a business background. I have a partner who's very logical and left-brained. And he's like, how does it know me? Like, how is this possible? Because it is, even for a lot of skeptics, you know, I'll be like, okay, well, let me see your chart. Let's talk about it. And within, 15, 20 minutes, they're like, okay, I don't know how it works, but you said exactly who I am.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think it is especially kind of taking off in popularity in this moment because, it is so profound. And yet, like you said, that first moment of looking at the chart, you're like, what does this mean? And so it's really interesting. So let me go into the history. Human design came about in the late 80s. The founder is a Canadian man who essentially channeled it. He kind of like went out and like had a week where all of this downloaded through him. And I don't know if I said it here, human design uses four different systems. It uses the chakra system, the I Ching, the Kabbalah, and astrology. And so if you even just think about the fact that, okay, to understand human design, you have to know what all four of those systems are. Like, okay, this couldn't have existed in the past when we weren't globalized, when we didn't, you know, have the internet, when yoga hadn't taken off, all these different things. Like, really, in my opinion, humanity has had to come to a point where we could even grasp these concepts to then have it come together in this, you know, this amalgamation that it comes through in human design to really appreciate its wisdom. And so he channeled it, it came through, he started teaching. And so there's kind of like an original wave of human design analysts and readers that studied with Ra, that's his name. And now what I'm seeing, especially in, you know, the last 4 or 5 years when it's blown up, is people on Instagram and on podcasts and a whole new set of media channels being able to talk about it that can kind of take what was very dense and esoteric. And now people are waking up to, wow, this is truly transformative, even if you just start with a little bit, right? And yeah, I'm just excited to see where it goes from here.
Yeah, that's so, so fascinating. Like, we had to prepare ourselves to be able to dissect and digest this information that originally had been four completely different systems with no combination. And so we had to evolve to a point where we could get there ourselves. That's so true. And I do also think, you know, the rise in popularity, I think there's just overall a rise in popularity of people wanting to know more about themselves and really understanding that it's not, there's so much more to themselves and to learning about themselves than to just go about life and just do your daily thing and be in this autopilot mode and not ever learn more about yourself and not ever make more of yourself. And I think that is really a big piece too, is that I think we're all kind of having this awakening, at least some, you know, some of us are having this awakening to where we do
more
want
of us.
To, yes, more of us to where we do want to take that step to learn more. And I think that's really where it's coming from. And just seeing, of course, the accuracy and how you can really change your life by knowing this information. You like, you can't deny it, right?
I did want to add, because I was thinking about what you said earlier, which I really loved, which is, you know, these are all tools to help us, you know, bring about those changes. And the analogy that comes to mind is, it's like, you know, when we're a little kid, when we're like 4, 5, 6, and we're angry or whatever, we're having big, intense emotions, but we know how we feel, but we can't articulate it because we don't have the language yet. And there's a similarity with human design where it's like, we know who we are. We know what feels good, what feels in or out of alignment. But until we have the language to say to someone like, you know what, I'm not going to attend that event, or like, I am going to change my mind about this career decision, but, and I'm going to feel great about it. Like, human design gives us this language to really own who we are at this like subtle energetic level.
Yeah, so true. It really is like, once you learn that, then it opens the door to be able to make these different choices and feel comfortable in your decisions and who you are. It's so true. I love it so much. All right. So tell people a little bit more. Let's kind of dive into what it looks like. So anyone can go online and put in their birthday and time and place and get a chart, and it's free and it's easy. And it's just what comes out, what develops. You're like, okay, I have no idea what any of this means. So let's say our listeners out there are going online, putting in their information, and out pops this chart. It seems the biggest thing that most people see, first of all, and most people talk about when you're in the human design space. Like, already, I think I posted on Instagram, my Instagram stories, that I had met with you. And I got so many responses back, like, what's your type? What's your type? What's your type? Everyone wants to know, like, what I am. So I know there's this overarching, like, very interesting thing of these five different types or whatever you call them. So let's see if we can kind of go over each one of those so that people that are just now learning and getting to know their human design have some idea of where to even start.
Totally. Yeah. And type is exactly the right place to start, because it is, if you look at the chart, there's different shapes and those represent different energy centers, which is where the chakra system piece comes in. And depending on what you have filled out, you'll be one of five different energy types. And energy type tells us, how do you exchange energy with the world? What is your energy like? What's the quality of that? So when I'm with, you know, someone who is an MG like yourself, it's going to feel different than when I'm with, you know, a projector or a reflector or anything else. So that's why people get excited about it. And so let's talk about manifestors first, because they, each energy type has an energetic purpose in the tribe. It's like we have, each type has something to contribute. And manifestors, I like to start with, because they're really the ones who are here to initiate action in the group. So if you think about us like as a tribe kind of like wandering the forest or whatever, manifestors were the ones to say, hey, we should stop and camp here. We should build a fire here. And like they literally say something and then it happens, right? So historically, they were the kings and queens and the army leaders who were like, I want a pyramid. Let me build, you know, and then it gets built by everybody else. They say it and it happens. And so for them, they have this really big energy because people are meant to join them in the cause that they want to start, whether it's an event or a project or something just totally random and fun. Like maybe they want to like plan a block party. I have no idea. It could be anything, or a Zoom circle at this point. Mm-hmm. And so the highest way they can express that is to just do it, right? With no worrying about what other people think, without adjusting their plans to not upset anyone else, not making themselves smaller or anything, or trying to fit in. Like, when I think famous manifestors, for example, have been J.K. Rowling or Frida Kahlo, people with like really unique visions of the world. And can you imagine if they tried to like, you know, make themselves like everybody else? Like we would all miss out on something really big.
So fascinating. Okay. I like that. So if someone is a manifester, here's the deal. Whenever I have told anybody that I'm a manifesting generator, every single person is like, of course you are. Like, I knew that. Like, nobody is shocked to hear that about me. So there's obviously something about me or something that I'm doing that clues people in. So for a manifester, what would be something in real life that you would be like, oh, she's a manifester?
Yeah, it's okay. So I have a friend who's a manifester, and she wanted to, she just got this fun idea. She's super fun. Like everybody loves her. And she was like, I think we should just all wear tutus one day. And she just like emailed our whole group of friends and like 20 people roll in, even some guys in the tutus. She just like sent a link and it just happened. Mm-hmm. Like for them, it's so easy to just say they want to do something and then people jump on board. When they're in their, when they're in alignment, when they're owning it, right? Unfortunately, another way to see which type you are is also the what's called the not self. When you're out of alignment, what is the emotion that you feel? And so for a manifester that is just saying yes to what other people want them to do and they're not following their own excitement, they tend to get angry about it, right? Because it's like, you know, why am I here? I'm unhappy. Like you're mad at other people for making you do something. You're mad at yourself for going along with it. So those would be the two. There's kind of like the highway and the low way of seeing how that would come out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes perfect sense. Yes. I have those people in my life as well. And they're very cool people. They definitely have that energy about them that really, truly, they just have these ideas and it's like, cool, let's do it.
Mm-hmm. It's so easy for them. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, if everyone else were to try to act like that, it would be really hard.
Yeah.
For them, it's just like, it happens. So why not lean into that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So let's move on. What's the next one?
Yeah. So let's talk about generators. And this also overlaps with manifesting generators because both of those two types, their defining energetic characteristic is that they have a sacral center filled out. So if you're looking at the chart, it's the red square, second from the bottom. And this is a big deal because the sacral center is the most powerful sort of life force energy that is available to us. And so 70% of the population is either a generator or an MG because we need that many people to have a defined sacral center to get stuff done in the world, right? If there wasn't that energy flowing, we would all just be like tired and, you know, not doing anything. And so for generators and MGs, their energetic purpose is to do what lights them up, what fills them up, what fuels their inner fire. It's like you can think about that sacral energy like this inner fire that's burning within you. And when you do what you love, it is so fulfilling, so exciting. You could, you know, you're literally fed by it, and it creates more energy and it overflows and lifts everybody else up around you. So usually I tell both of these types, like, think about when you're doing something you love, like, do you feel like you just keep doing it all day? And the universal response is like, yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So interesting. Okay. So then what for the generator, they have that. And then so does the manifesting generator. So what's the difference between the two?
So if you're a generator without the manifesting piece, you just have that sacral center filled up and your energetic purpose is the same. But for the manifesting generator, you also have some of that manifestor E energy, I would say, where you have some energy going to your throat, but because the sacral center is the strongest, loudest energy, that's still the thing that takes precedence over your more, you know, manifestory qualities. So the MG will be a little more spontaneous, be excited by many different things, more multi-passionate, often more like non-linear compared to your generator. A generator, if you think about, like, they're lit up by this one thing, there's nothing else kind of like distracting them. They're really here more to like master one thing or, you know, a few things, versus the MG, they, you know, maybe something will come up, you'll get super into it for a short period of time, you'll master it really quickly, but then just as quickly, you might feel that excitement in your gut, that sacral center that was getting you all stoked, just as quickly kind of like flow out. Sean, I think you're a great example of that, where, you know, you started with a more of a fitness background and then you got super into keto and that was so successful. And like, you know, what you accomplished in a few years, other people, you know, take them like five, maybe even more years. Right. But then you're like, you know what, I'm kind of over this. And you allowed yourself to shift.
Right. Yeah. I think that's probably why people are like, well, duh, of course you are. Cause I have definitely, multiple times described myself as multi-passionate. Mm-hmm. Multiple. I feel that so strongly. And so it seems, yeah, so that's really the difference then is a generator, they have this one passion, like they are very committed to this one thing and they're so strongly feel about it and they can get really lost in that. And it seems like also the generator and the manifesting generator may have more of this like action oriented type thing. Maybe like they're the ones that you see kind of like really working towards their goals and really doing. It seems like, yeah,
absolutely. This is actually a really important piece. I think historically, when you look at, you know, generators and MGs really were what kept the world going, right? But when you look at like kind of old world stuff, like there was a lot of hierarchy. There was a lot of pushing and struggling. And of course there were a lot of like hard things that we went through as a humanity with conflict and struggle and famine and all this stuff. And what I really want to emphasize is that as we're going through all these shifts, especially now, we get an opportunity to embody the highest expression of our energy type by saying no to some of that pushing and that struggle. So for the generator and for the MG, it's not so much because you have so much energy and you can, you know, do so much action, but you're not here to be a worker bee. You're not here to be a slave. Because if you're doing things that are out of alignment, you are not feeding that inner fire, right? You're forcing yourself to use your energy, but you're not filling up yourself. And so you're actually depriving the people around you of that amazing energy that would be created if you were working on something that did excite you. So let's actually reframe it as, hey, when you, as much as you can, only pursue what lights you up, and when you say no to what this really doesn't feel good in your body, because that's how you'll know, is you'll feel it in your gut, that sacral center, then you're actually serving the people around you, versus, you know, maybe you're not confident enough, or, you know, you don't truly believe that it's okay to stand up for your authentic desires. That's actually the more selfish route.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Gotcha. Which is, it really, like, that's for both of those, that's a really important thing to talk about, because I think I'm definitely, in my case, for sure, this is what we talked about too, is that I do have that ability to do that, to really just keep going and going and going. And put energy towards things that I'm not even passionate about anymore, just because that's like the going nature of me. And then it does feel terrible and it feels really super draining. And that's what we discussed when I was talking about keto and I was not passionate about it anymore. Like I felt like complete in that area, but I still was talking about it. I was like physically drained. Like I felt it physically. I felt tired and weak and just like out of it, brain fog. Like I didn't feel good when
I
was.
Which is so unusual for you, right? Yeah, exactly. Because you naturally have a lot of energy.
Exactly. And it was just like even recording an hour podcast would just totally drain me because I was putting energy into something that was no longer aligning with me. And so now I know why I felt that way, which is really nice that there's actually a reason behind that. Okay. So is there anything else that we need to talk about specific to, because we did manifesting generators, seems like very similar. There's just that added like piece of have the vision almost.
Yeah, exactly. It's for MG specifically, it's like giving yourself the permission, the grace to pivot when you need to, because I don't know what your process internally like was, Sean, when you were making that decision to pivot again. But I know a lot of MGs who I talk to and like, you know, it's like they're thinking about career and their friends think they're flaky. Their parents don't really approve. It's just like, nobody gets it. Right. Mm-hmm. But what I want to emphasize is nobody else can feel what you feel in your body. And this is like human design really gives us our own power back. It's like, what feels right to you? And if you know that it's like, you know, you're just so exhausted, it's like you have no other choice but to make a change. And that's totally okay, because when you do that, you'll show people how it's the right path for you, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is so true. And I mean, I even think, am I flaky? You know, like my ego is even like, why can't you just pick a lane? So I have that chatter all over the place. But deep down, and even when I did make the switch, I had people message me on Instagram and with through the podcast and stuff telling me not to stop. And I was like, no, I have to listen to myself. Yeah. And now again, it helps so much to have that validation that what I was doing, I was just following me and I was following my feelings and what felt right for me. So It's just nice to have that for sure.
And I will say another thing for MGs is like, it won't make sense going forward, but all of the different things that you pick up, you came in as an MG for a reason, right? You're here to pick up lots of different skills, master lots of different things, and it does come together in the end. Like right now with your mindset work, you can work with women, but you can support them in every step of the way, whether it's physical, mm-hmm. whether it's nutritional, you know, all this other stuff. So even though, you know, if I'd asked you like 6 years ago, oh, you're going to do like mindset stuff and have like 3 podcasts and whatever, you'd be like, what? But yeah. Now it all makes sense.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And it is true, because I do have the capacity to, my whole goal throughout all of this was to help women become truly healthy and happy, like both. And so you need the full circle. And it's like, I'm completing that circle. I'm still on that path. Okay, so let's move on, because we have two more and these are quite different. I don't know a lot about them, but I do know you mentioned they're pretty different. So let's go through those.
Yeah, so we just talked about the 3 energy types. Now we'll talk about the 2 what's called non-energy types. And for them, the key thing is they could be doing their favorite thing in the world and they still need breaks and rest. And it doesn't mean that you're low energy necessarily, because I think that can also be kind of it doesn't feel great, but it's simply that because we'll start with projectors. So they're about 20% of the population. They don't have a sacral center and they don't create energy doing what they love. They're here to actually hang out with everyone else, ride their energy, amplify it. And then also have periods of like kind of retreating so they can be their true self. Right. But because they can so deeply feel into the energy of other people, they're really good at guiding it. So it's almost like, when I talk to my projector friends, they're like, yeah, being around the other energy types, it's literally like an energetic, like cup of coffee. Cause it's like, it's a jolt, right? When you're with them. And in the tribe analogy, if, you know, the manifestor was the one to say, let's stop here, let's build a fire. And then the generators and the MGs, they hear the idea and they're so excited and their body is like, yes, let's do it. And they, you know, they're running around, they're building things because they really want to, not because they have to. Then the projectors are the ones that are kind of watching everything happen. And they're saying, actually, I think it would be better if we put this over there. And like, how about we make that a little bigger? So they're really providing some kind of insight to make everybody else's energy more efficient.
Oh, that makes so much sense. Okay. But then they also still need, like, they gain energy by retreating.
So they'll want to, it's sort of like, because they have these open centers, including the sacral, you want to, in order to know who you really are, you need to kind of empty out of that, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's so great for me to, you know, record this podcast with you and talk and get a little hit of your energy. But afterward, I also need to, I can't expect myself to kind of be at that wave all the time.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Is that what you are?
Yeah, I'm a projector.
Okay, got it. Okay, cool. So then if someone's not living in alignment with that, how would it look or feel?
Ooh, yeah. So a common thing is for projectors to feel like they need to be MGs or generators, because, I mean, that's your, what is the majority of society, right? And so right. It's like, if you are expecting yourself to work like 60 to 100 hour weeks, which I saw all the time in my corporate job, it's like, well, for some people, that's actually not going to be correct. And because projectors can see things and like understand systems so clearly, you can often be more efficient. It's like, even though all my colleagues were working, you know, 60 hour weeks, sometimes I would work like a 40 hour week, but it would seem like I was working a 60 hour week, you know?
Yeah.
But if you're feeling exhausted, if you're feeling out of alignment, and the not self theme for a projector is what's called bitterness, because they so desperately want to be recognized for their insights. But if we, the strategy for a projector is to wait to be invited, or essentially to make sure whatever you're sharing is being received by the other person or party. So if you're just saying like, I think you should change this, and I really know the right answer, but no one's listening to me, and why doesn't anyone see how brilliant I am? You're going to feel bitter about it, mm-hmm. right? So that would be also another classic sign of, hey, maybe you should save that energy and really recognize and validate your own expertise first, and then allow people to come to you to ask for your advice.
Ah, that makes so much sense. Got it. Okay. And then the last one, non-energy.
Reflectors.
Reflector. Yep. Okay.
So reflectors are the rarest. If you look at their chart, every single center is open. So there is nothing, there's nothing that's like consistently stable within their own energy. When they're around other people, they feel every single thing that that other person or other people are sending out. And so because of that, they can sense other people's energy, and then that's almost how they act or become in the moment. Mm. So when we're hanging out with reflectors, we feel and see ourselves reflected back.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so their purpose, they're so rare because their purpose is to be a reflection for their group, their community, which can be like a lot of people, right? So they're only about 1% of the population. And I think of them as like what would be like the storytellers of like that old tribe where, you know, all the action has happened all day. The reflector has been hanging around with all the different groups, really like becoming like these other people in the moment. And then at the end of the night, they're standing by the fire. They're telling all the stories about the day. And everyone else is sitting there and we're listening and we're like, wow, yeah, that is really how I felt, or that is really what happened. And this is the deeper lesson. And they're just so profound just by being themselves, which is shifting in every moment.
Mm, it's almost like they're here to like teach us more about ourselves, like mm-hmm. to take in other people's doings and feelings and everything, and then almost project them back onto us in a way that we can see it like outside of ourselves, almost like
absolutely
see a deeper thing that's happening. Cause it is hard to even see when you're really truly in your own energy doing what you do best. It's hard to see what you're doing or hard to feel what you're doing because you're just in the flow. So it's almost like a mirror to see like, this is what's really happening here. This is you being in alignment or out of alignment. So that's actually a really cool purpose to have.
Yeah. Yeah. And so for them, it's really important to allow themselves to just be however they feel in that moment, right? Or like be really excited about this one career or this one project, and then have it be completely okay if that changes in a different setting, because they are really meant to embody their surroundings, their environment. And also it's really important for them to be discerning about their environment too. So if anything feels kind of off or icky or weird, like they really need to trust that, because forcing yourself to stay in an environment that doesn't feel good, you are literally like putting yourself in like a toxic situation.
Mm, okay. So then if they are out of alignment, what's up with them?
Yeah, they're going to feel really just bummed about life, essentially. Mm. Disappointed is the not self theme, because, you know, imagine your highest expression is to really just be, take on and become other people. And like, how incredible is that, to really deeply understand someone else's experience? And then you get to flavor and sample that in all the myriad of, you know, infinite ways that could be as you go throughout life. When they're most in flow, they're just delighted by life. Mm. And so when you're out of alignment, it's the sense of like, everything is the same. It's stuck. It's boring. Nothing will change. I am always going to be this way, which is like just not true for a reflector. Right. They're always going to shift.
Wow. Okay. And you said that was only 1% of the population.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So yeah. Do you know the percentage of the other, you said 70% is.
Yeah. So it's roughly like 35-35 for the generators and the MGs. Okay. And then manifestors, it's slightly less than 10%. And then projectors are about 20%.
Oh my gosh. That's so cool. All right. I love it. So at least now if someone goes, gets their chart, they can see that kind of overarching type and they'll know, like you can, I feel like there's so much just in that, that's like, okay, this makes so much sense to me. I feel so much better about how I am and how I react and when I feel good and when I feel bad, to know that this is part of my human design. But then there are so many other things which people will see on their chart. And this is when you really truly, you go down the rabbit hole and you need someone like Victoria to really show you everything, because it's fascinating, just totally fascinating information. But what are some other kind of big pieces to the puzzle that people can start kind of dissecting themselves?
So I think what would be most exciting for your audience is talking about manifestation, because I know you work
about
exactly, because I know people really care about, you know, improving themselves and improving their lives. And what's really, you know, there's so many different manifestation frameworks, which I'm sure you talk about. But I think where human design can offer an interesting kind of perspective is, when you look at the arrows in your chart, there's the bottom right-hand arrow, which is going to be in black. And this arrow corresponds to how we see things, kind of like our perspective in our mind's eye, right? And so when you think about manifestation, it's all about like, what do I visualize for the future? What am I calling in? And that arrow can go either to the left or to the right. And if it goes to the left, it is more masculine in flavor. And if it goes to the right, then it's more feminine. And so let's talk about each kind, right? So if your arrow is going to the left, it means that you're someone who benefits from being really structured in how you think about what you want to manifest, being really detailed, having a plan, being really logical and understanding, how is this going to work? What are, you know, steps A, B, C, D, whatever? Really honing in on the details, being like, you know, when I think about vision, being really focused, that's also very masculine. And so, yeah. And so if you're one of those people that has your arrow going to the left, when you think about like, hey, I want to live in this place, it's like getting down every single detail, maybe even knowing like what street, blah, blah, blah. And then also understanding, great, so I'm going to go visit, you know, these open houses, I bookmarked these things on Zillow. Just the whole, it's kind of like the more you know about the process, the more supportive it will be. Mm-hmm. So that's one way.
Okay.
Now, Sean, you're the other way. Your arrow is going to the right and you're nodding because you know this about yourself. With the right facing arrow, the more feminine approach to manifesting, it is, so let's think about the feminine. It is mysterious. It's not logical. It's more feelings based versus like, you know, the specific, what's visible. It is also sometimes what comes through might not even be what you expected. So I was listening to like the episode that you had on manifesting your dream home. And what I love is like, yeah, I just like let myself feel how great it would feel to have that view. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And so, I mean, feel free to chime in too with your experience here. But what I love about this is like, even within manifestation, there is a unique way that's going to work better for you based on your chart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so cool to think about. And that is very true for me, because at the end of the day, I want a feeling like, you know, having a specific XYZ thing is great, but I'm really after feeling a certain way. And I actually think it works in my favor to leave it open-ended, to come in whatever form is best.
Yeah.
You know,
it's that energy of like, you just hold your hand open and you're receiving. You're like, yeah, I don't have to know exactly what it is. I just know something great will come. And you're so confident in that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually, you know, that's exactly what I did with my now partner. And after having been single for 6 years and trying to manifest a partner, and the more I tried to manifest, the more like masculine I got with it, to where I was like, this is exactly all the qualities, all the traits, everything. Like, I can see this person. And when I gave that up, I was like, I'm just going to erase this entire list that I've now created without me even knowing, just like kind of what happens the more single you are, I think. Then I'm just going to erase all of it and like know that all I want is like this small list of how I will feel with this person. Mm. And like, I guess it was probably 3 months later, we started dating.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But like, I'd gone 6 years of this like perfect vision of what I wanted, and I just completely let it go. And I think I did an episode about that on here. If not, I'll do one eventually.
When you started making that list, what was the reasoning behind that?
I think it was because I thought that I could manifest better the more I knew, you know, the more that I could visualize this person, then the easier it would be to find it. I think I had that thought. And I think it also just comes again with like being single and then kind of seeing, getting more of a sense of what you do and don't want. And it's really about a feeling, but then it like eventually gets to this point where it's like, well, in order to have that feeling, it has to look this certain way, which really for a lot of times isn't true, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. I love what she said right there at the end, which is like, you know, you have a feeling and then we think we know what it's going to look like, but for non-specifics, we don't.
Yes. Yes. And just even having that thought that you don't have to know, like that for me, that feels very freeing. Like you don't have to know how it's going to come. Leave that up to the universe, your higher power, whatever you want. Leave that up to something else. But you just know the feeling you want and just focus on that feeling. And it just feels so much more freeing and peaceful that way, at least for me. But I obviously that wouldn't be the case for everyone.
Well, I think that brings up a good point, because I also have had specific manifestors reach out with manifestation FOMO, and they're like, wait, but I don't know exactly what I want. Am I screwed? And to that I would say, no, absolutely not. I think for all of us, as we go through the process of manifestation, there are times when you don't know exactly what it is you want to call in yet. Or maybe like with the home example, it's like, okay, I know I want a view, but like, I don't know about the other stuff yet. And then as you go through life, like, you know, the universe is there to kind of bump you along the way, give you an experience, have you, you know, visit an Airbnb or meet a person or whatever that helps continue to inform that vision. And so similarly, also for the non-specific, because I also have those people reach out and they're like, well, does that mean I can't have a list of things? To which I'll also say that's not the case, right? I like to come back to just what is a more masculine versus more feminine approach. And for the non-specific, like, for example, for partnership, for me, I had a list of all the different values that I cared about. And it was like, you know, maybe like 15, 20 things, which like might be considered detailed. But I have never in my entire life ever put down any physical characteristics. Mm-hmm. And so it's like just that quality of like, do you need to know these details that you could give or take, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. It's so true. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, as you go getting more and more specific, because really all that's doing is just taking the signs you've been getting and putting that into your manifestation. So it doesn't necessarily mean you're turning it to be more masculine or vice versa. It's just that's how it's coming to you at that time, which is great. But I love that piece is included in a human design experience. So it seems like it is very spiritual in nature, which is so great. And coming from those four different kind of energy systems, it's like all about spirituality, which I just love.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's funny though, is the founder of Ra, he's an atheist. Mm. And so his whole thing was actually, you had mentioned in the beginning, like, what is the the science of it. And this is going to go into like quantum physics and stuff, which like by no means am I'm like, you know, preschool level with that.
Yes, me too. I think we all are.
Yeah. But there's an aspect of, you know, how does this work with the birth date time? And it's because there are subatomic particles in the universe called neutrinos, and they're coming from all these different sources, including the planets, the sun, and so forth. And that streams through the moment we're born. And that's what actually activates all these different energies. So that's the scientific explanation. Mm. Although I tell people who are hardcore skeptics and they're like, you don't understand quantum physics, so I don't believe you. And I'm like, well, yeah, I don't, but that's what they say.
But yeah, that's the thing is that I think that even people that are studying quantum physics don't really understand quantum physics because there's right. so much unknown. But that's where you really just got, you have to do it, see how it feels for you, fill out the chart, talk to Victoria, get a breakdown of everything, and then you decide if it's something that you want to get into or not. I mean, obviously you don't have to, but there are plenty of people that it's really been life-changing for them. And even just to learn, again, to learn a little bit more about yourself and how you behave and why you do and what burns your energy versus what creates more energy in you. Like that all is really interesting and important stuff. And I can guarantee that if you pull a chart on yourself, you're going to have some like pretty big aha moments for sure. I'm sure like in you do this obviously in your practice and you talk to people probably every day and they're like, oh my God, this is crazy.
It's still... Every time though, it makes me so happy.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, it's like that moment is, I mean, maybe you feel this way when you like record a podcast or run a coaching call. It's just like, that will never get old.
Yeah.
Know?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, and that's because you're doing what you're supposed to do. And speaking of, I want to wrap this up. Gosh, that went so fast. I feel like we could talk about this for so much longer, but I want to wrap up just by you telling a little bit more about what you do for other people and how this all works and who you work with.
I do readings for people, of course, of their charts, and there's so much in a chart. So sometimes, you know, I have multiple sessions with people, but what I also do afterward is I work with them one-on-one in a coaching capacity too, because what often comes up is we read the chart and it's like, oh, I have always really felt that way about what I wanted to do with my life, or like, wow, that is a gift, but you know, I'm really having trouble using my voice. And what comes out of that is all of the work of integrating, which I mentioned in the beginning. So I work with people at the subconscious level with shifts there and with somatic work and reflection and meditation. It's basically the toolkit of all the things that I've been learning and studying and working on myself for the last decade. So that is really fulfilling when I see people not just know their human design, but then in container one-on-one really embody their own truth.
Oh yeah. That is so true. And I felt that too. It was like, oh my gosh, I know so much more about myself. Now what? Yeah. You know, it's like, okay, cool. I really want to embrace this. And I think could make some really great changes in my life. But, you know, you need a little bit more guidance, I'd say, to really find out how to integrate it fully so that you're living your best life, right? So I think that's great that you do that. And you do it for anybody and everybody just based on what they need kind of in their life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's totally just as the chart is completely unique to that person, like whatever, whatever intentions, goals, blocks that come up are also totally unique. So for one person, it might be, I'm manifesting in a partner. Like, you know, now you understand a little bit about that process, but like, okay, actually doing it, all the ups and downs of the self-doubt or questions that can come up, like I can be there for you for that. But, you know, career is another really big kind of topic. And I've gone through that journey myself of, I'm in a career that's out of alignment. How do I start making shifts to my nutrition, my schedule, taking back a little bit of energy to invest in that next thing. So it's all over. It's all over the place in terms of what it could look like.
Yeah. Do you ever see people who are trying to like heal their physical body, like having health issues and using the human design to kind of boost their healing?
Yeah, absolutely. So we talked a little bit about pushing when it doesn't feel great. And so whether you have whether you're a generator or a projector or any type, we can all misuse our energy and go through adrenal burnout, fatigue, so forth. And at the energetic level, you know, yes, it's happening in our bodies, but there's also something happening with our energy where it's that's a form of stress, right? And so I absolutely have worked with people on that as well, where it's like, great, you're having these health issues, and of course you should also work with a practitioner that has like a nutritional degree or a medical degree or whatever. But what about the spiritual questions that come up, right? What about the choices that you're going to make? What about the conversation that you're going to have with, your friend, your partner, your parents around, I'm not doing that anymore. Mm-hmm. So, supporting and all that.
Yeah. When we went over my chart and I realized kind of how much I had been not living in alignment with being a manifesting generator, like trying to fit into another box for a lot of my like 20s and 30s, I realized that for sure was why I had adrenal issues all the time.
Yep.
Like I was pushing against what I actually really wanted and where my energy would be best served. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And it's easy for an MG to do that because you're like, hey, I've got this energy. I have it going all the time. Right?
Yes.
And so it's tempting to just use it.
Totally. And I can also see that being in kind of some of the non-energy types, trying to be like fit into the energetic box of a generator, a manifesting generator or a manifestor, those kinds of things, and really feeling that and getting totally burnt out too.
Totally. I mean, you talk about manifestors because they don't have a sacral either, actually. So manifestors, if they're trying to keep up, or the non-energy types, coffee, sugar, like all the, all that stuff, and just fueling to create an energy they don't have is also, I've been there as well. So yep, absolutely. You're spot on.
Yeah. It really seems like it just works for everything. And you even brought up how you were kind of in a corporate environment, totally living against your type. Man, it would be so cool if like big businesses did this for all of their employees and then understood like how to best make the use of their energy. We'd have totally different environments in
Absolutely.
Our corporate world.
Yeah. That's my like long-term dream. Cause like, I'll tell you, when I was in the corporate world, I was the woo-woo weird one. I'd come in every morning with my green smoothie in my own jar, and I worked at a company. I mean, all the companies in Silicon Valley cater like all the meals, right? So it's like, if you bring your own food, you're like a major weirdo. Right? But I would always wonder that in the back of my head, what if we talked about energetic diversity? Because in tech, we talk about gender diversity, we talk about racial diversity. That's all very, very aware of that. And we know that when there are diverse groups, we tend to make better decisions. We have, there's just different voices. But I will say there is a lack of energetic diversity. So one day, you're already speaking to my dreams.
Yes, you have got to pursue that. That would be so, so huge. And then the last thing I wanted to say is when I was getting my chart read, I was like, man, I wish my partner was here and we could do it together. Cause I think it would be so cool to hear each other's, and yes. It would help in your relationship too, to understand a little bit more about your partner and when they're feeling energized versus when they're feeling drained and what you can do to support that. So I was like, darn, this would be really cool for couples too.
Totally. Well, I mean, I do that. So you can book a reading and we can look at those charts. But I was just going to say you have your recording, so you can have your partner listen to that and see what she thinks.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Victoria, thank you so much. Tell everyone where they can find out more about you and your services and what you do.
Yeah. So they can find me on Instagram. I'm at Vital Becoming. And if you want to reach out and get a reading, you can DM me there. Or if you're not on Instagram, you can also just email me. It's the same thing, vitalbecoming@gmail.com.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for being here and sharing your knowledge. So fascinating. I know we have a lot of people super interested now. So I really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's my pleasure. And I'm so happy to talk human design with you.